Welcome, everybody, to Auto Talk with Jazz. I am your host, Jasmine Booker, where we sit down and we talk about how we can make the automotive industry better. Here I have Paula Kramer, who is a wonderful, we've talked, I think, for the past 2 months, maybe even longer, about just a lot of the coaching strategies that she's talked about and what people can do to better themselves, not only as leaders, not only as managers, but also as employees, as people in general. And so I'm going to give it over to her so she can talk a little bit more about her background, her experiences, and really why she's here today.
Thank you, Jasmine. I forgot to tell you that I like to be called Paula M. Kramer because there's a lot of Paula Kramers in the world, and Paula M. Kramer sets me out a little bit differently, but that's my bad. I'm talking here to talk about breaking glass ceilings and optimizing opposite roles. I broke age glass ceilings because I had three life tragedies by age 28 that slowed me down for decades. It took me decades to be able to accomplish many of the things I wanted to accomplish. My mother tried to kill me twice when I was very young. She stereotyped me the day I was born as a threat because I was her second daughter instead of her first son. So I've lived with stereotypes all my life, and I've researched stereotypes. My spine was injured when I was 12 years old when a boy in school pulled his chair off from under me. That injury was misdiagnosed for 33 years. Then my husband died when our daughter was 8 months old. So it took me time to overcome those tragedies and to start doing what I wanted to do. I became an international professional speaker at age 50. I became an international best-selling author for the first time at age 70. I became an audience favorite on an international podcast on my 72nd birthday. So I have broken ceilings. I also have street cred in an opposite role. I talk about optimizing opposite role. As a teenager, I spent a summer on a construction site with my father. He had signed a contract to wash windows, clean bathrooms, and clean kitchens in houses a developer was building for a subdivision, so dozens of houses. He washed the windows. I cleaned the bathrooms and kitchens. On a construction site, the only female. I did not work with any of the other men on the site, but I was around other men. I talked to them, and the site was so big that when I was out there, I felt separate from the rest of the world. Ever since then, I have felt comfortable in all male or mostly male situations because of that summer. So I've been in an opposite role. When I was in grad school, I met Kate, who has also got street cred in an opposite role. She got a water science degree when natural resources was mostly male. She spent a lot of time in classrooms with mostly men. Together, we did a grad study on men and women in opposite roles. We talked to men and women in opposite roles about their experiences. And we interviewed, We interviewed 11 people, 6 men and 5 women, and they were, this is 1992. So when you hear this list, some of you will be astonished that these were ever opposite roles. There was a female vice president in education and training, a male teller, a female vice president in loans in a bank, and a male waiter, a female district attorney, a male detective who interviewed sexual assault victims. And I'm missing a couple. There was also a female university administrator, a male education major, and a female dean of a college. They were all opposite roles in 1992. Things have changed, obviously. My bank has mostly male tellers right now. When I told them about the study, they were astonished that it was ever an opposite role. So things change. But it doesn't need to take 30 years to change. I've developed strategies that help create change faster, my SOAPy strategies. Every one of the people we interviewed for our opposite role study told us that they talked according to the situation, not according to anybody's gender. Other people had trouble accepting them in their roles. They ignored them, discounted them, stereotyped them, and judged them. So the first part of the SOAPy strategy is to understand the situation. Since then, I've recognized that there are two types of situations, at least. There might be more. One of them is a stereotype situation where the stereotypes are about people. The second stereotype situation is the stereotype about roles, not people, but roles. So in a stereotype situation about people, there are talking points for that situation, and they are stereotypes. I've written five blog posts listing more than 1,000 stereotypes. Most people have no idea how many stereotypes they face every single time they walk out their door. I went through these blog posts. They're about people in general, workplaces, romance, ethnic, national, and racial identities, and poverty. I went through my five blog posts listing all the stereotypes that could be applied to me. I had a list of over 100. Those are all the possible stereotypes. No one will face all the stereotypes every time they go out their door, but they'll face some stereotype every time they go out their door. So the important thing is to pay attention to the stereotypes about you and then to talk about them. And the most interesting thing I've discovered in researching these stereotypes is the stereotypes that opposite people share. It's been fun figuring that out. I'll give you two examples. Businessmen and secretaries are generally considered opposites in the workplace. They share a materialistic stereotype. Isn't that interesting? And then,
What would be the like, what would be an example of that?
well, they probably think that they are focused on making money and spending money on things they want. That materialistic, materialist, no vision of doing something better for society or helping someone else. It's all about me, about buying what I want. Another group that is really opposite, another two, a pair, entrepreneurs and whistleblowers. Entrepreneurs own their own business. Whistleblowers work for a bigger organization. So they're opposites. The stereotype they share is criminal. They're seen as criminals. So if you're an entrepreneur, you have to be careful to make sure that you do everything in a way that doesn't give anyone the possibility of thinking that you're a criminal. And if you're a whistleblower, if you're thinking about whistleblowing, you have to document in any way you can your honesty and you're following the rules before you whistleblow so that you have evidence that you're not criminal. So those are the talking points. Examples of talking points for this people stereotype situation. You look up stereotypes about people you work with and say, did you know? In the role stereotype situation, work is stereotyped as male and family is stereotyped as female. So anytime a work issue comes up or a family issue comes up, it's stereotyped with certain characteristics. The male role is stereotyped as characteristics are assertive, task, independence, vision, action, those kind of stereotypes. Family stereotypes, characteristics are importance of feelings, focusing on feelings and focusing on relationships. And this hurts everybody. I have a study, I have a resource page that Jasmine will provide the link for. Excuse me, link for, with all kinds of evidence, all kinds of resources, some from my life, some from my research, some from other people. And two researchers looked at a big consulting firm, global consulting firm, that asked them to help them advance women. They discovered, because the firm thought that women were leaving the firm more than men, there was a higher turnover rate for women. The turnover rate was virtually the same. The firm just ignored the similarity in the turnover rate. they focused on the family role and the male role and had a 24/7 overwork culture. These role situation is common in a 24/7 overwork culture where employers are expected to offer more than is needed to the clients. In this role situation, the talking point is starting with the clients. You ask the clients if you're supposed to do a presentation that your bosses tell you to do, you present it to the client and it's too much for them, it's got things they don't want, things they can't use. You ask the clients, what did I offer that you couldn't use? What did I offer that you couldn't want? You could also ask, which question should I be asking clients so that I offer only what they need and want? Then you could talk about what the clients say in your workplace. And I have a reference book called Reverse Innovation, which gives you lots of ideas for talking to potential customers, because that's what it's based on. That's the role stereotype situation. The second part of SOAPY is other people. On my courses website, I have three free video lessons, and one of them is three groups of people, which explains the different people in our lives, people who are with us, people who are against us, and people who are waiting for an invite. The video will give you a lot more detail. But once you can recognize these three groups, you know how to approach anyone. You know not to waste your time trying to convince against your group to follow you, but you never, ever treat them negatively. You are always positive to the against you people, so you can invite bystanders to be loyal to you, to be with you. They could be part of the waiting for an invite group. I have an example from a time when I was fired, when the boss who fired me told lies about me, and I proved she was lying by making only positive statements about her she was a regional nonprofit office that worked with schools, and there was a national nonprofit office, and I wrote the national nonprofit office saying only positive things about my boss and proved that she was a liar without using the word lie, liar, or lying. So if you stay positive, you invite loyalty. And then,
So just real quick,
yeah.
because you know our audience or my audience is very much so either leaders or managers or people who are actually business owners, what are some of the recommendations that you would have for people who are saying, okay, I would really love to use these SOAPY strategies in my day-to-day? What would be something that you could see a leader using this for? Maybe not just what the employees can use, but what about the leadership whenever you see SOAPY
Leadership. Oh,
strategies?
you could use this for anything. I have a story. Perhaps you remember, Jasmine. There's the other video with the workplace violence. There's that man who was, I was warned, could become violent towards me if I was ever alone with him. Remember that? And that leader, that our supervisor, understood his behavior style needs and guiding value passions and offered him a task and a new task. It was really a pretty low level task, but he offered it in a way that satisfied this man's behavior style need and guiding value passion, and he felt like he got a promotion. He got an emotional promotion because of how this leader approached him with this new idea for what he could do in the office, and he never threatened me again. When you know how to satisfy needs and passions, you can remove whatever belief that led to the possibility of violence. That the video about violence is about the three beliefs that can lead to workplace violence. And when you know how to eliminate those beliefs, then you can eliminate the possibility of violence or reduce the possibility of violence.
And what about, and you did go a little bit into it, and I think a lot of people here might want to know because loyalty is a huge thing in the automotive industry. It's one of those things that if you don't have loyalty, you always have turnover. You always are left with having to pay for training for these people that you don't know is going to be here for another 6 months, let alone a year. So knowing that sometimes there are leaders who do not want to change, how do you have that conversation using these strategies, saying, you know what, let's take a step back and let's see what we can do to change the narrative, not just as the employee, but also as a manager? How does that conversation go?
How does the conversation go? Well, the manager needs to identify who's good at what first to make sure they're not putting someone into training that doesn't fit that employee. So you have to be able to look at each employee and decide what they're good at. That's how my boss dealt with that troublesome employee. He looked at what he was good at, what satisfied his needs, and then satisfies those needs. That's how you start. You look at what the person is good at, and you give them feedback for what they're good at. That's part of the you strategy, how you present yourself to other people. And one of the things you do is you give positive feedback. And another thing is to say thank you, congratulate them on anything they do. Any feedback, recognition, and advocacy are three of the things that women in STEM, that I read a book called Valued at Work. It's about women in STEM, but it applies to anybody. This anybody can place glass ceilings if they're in a group that faces cultural and political hurdles. So it's anybody. Sensitive men face the same glass ceilings women face because they're seen as reacting it towards the female role by being sensitive. So they face the same glass ceilings. And so that then that you can apply anything about this to anybody in any group that faces cultural and political hurdles. So advocacy, feedback, and recognition are important to everybody who faces cultural and political hurdles. And if you give positive feedback, positive recognition, and advocate for any small thing that someone needs in their work role, then you can make it more comfortable to be in their role. But first, you have to make sure they're in the right role. Put people-oriented people into people-oriented roles and task-oriented people into task-oriented roles. That's the way to start.
So then, and I do, I'm going to go back and forth only because I think that I want to show that this is for both sides. So
Right.
then, let's say you have an employee who they know they're better as managers than they are as the worker, because there is a conversation a lot
Right.
of times in automotive that the people who get promoted are oftentimes the best, the high earners, but they don't necessarily know how to manage.
Right.
But the managers do not want to promote these people who are actually really good at managing. How do you have that conversation?
Well, you don't start out with a conversation. You don't. You start out with the way you present yourself. So I in one free another of the free videos, there's three free video lessons. One is called Three Behavior Transforming Steps, and it's about how I accidentally stumbled on a way to transform a relationship by satisfying physical, mental, and emotional needs. I have since put together strategies for satisfying physical, mental, and emotional needs in a way that allows you to move up the ladder. And so the physical starts with proximity opportunities, becoming familiar to them, to people. And I've got examples from some people. This one I just read about yesterday. Lyndon Johnson, who was president in the after John F. Kennedy was killed, he started out as a congressional aide and lived in a rooming house with other congressional aides. He was really ambitious to start out. He understood the importance of networking, so he took several showers a day in his rooming house so he could keep running into different people, different aides in his rooming house. Then he ran for president of the AIDS little Congress and won because so many of the aides knew him. So first you become familiar to whomever. One way to do this, I found, I was on a Habitat for Humanity board of directors for 5 years, is to volunteer where leaders go. So building a habitat house, helping work on a habitat house is one place where you can meet a wide variety of people from a wide variety of levels and a wide variety of industries, something like that. So you make yourself familiar and then you make yourself approachable. That's the second part of the physical. You make yourself approachable. I have three photographs on my resource page that shows approachability, the importance of approachability. I recommend the book, The Geography of Genius by Eric Weiner, because he talks about the eight most successful places in the world, from ancient Athens to Silicon Valley. And he talks about all the networking they did, some by accident. Well, mostly by accident, but some of Silicon Valley is intentional. But now I've lost my thought. Okay, so. Oh, so the networking is important because you need to, when you meet certain people, then they open up your possibilities for other people. You make yourself approachable. Oh, genius, in the genius book, Geography of Genius, Eric Weiner was in Florence, Italy, which was a genius culture for art. When he was in Florence, he looked at online profiles for art historians because he wanted to interview an art historian for his book. Every single one of the profiles he looked at, except for one, showed people, men and women, in professional attire, professional posture, looking at the camera seriously. The art historian he chose to interview was wearing just a dark shirt. He had sunglasses on. He was smiling and he held a dog. He was holding a dog so that the dog's face partially hid his own face. That's who Eric Weiner interviewed for his book on the genius of geography, because the man, Eugene Martinez, made himself approachable. So you make yourself approachable.
So
And you
then how do you, 'cause, and that sounds very good for, especially if you're trying to move up in an industry. So then how would you want to do that in the workplace, maybe?
Well, you present yourself as friendly. Once you have become familiar, I say after your third time you've seen someone that you want to become more connected with, just give them a little wave. Make yourself more approachable that way. And then another strategy which comes under the mental, physical, mental, emotional, under the mental category is to synchronize similarities. And one way to do that in the workplace is to start conversations that have a positive purpose. Most people in the workplace have been in the workplace long enough to have had a difficult manager in their past. So you'd have to think about this because you'd have to think about what this was positive for you. You think about a difficult manager in your past and what you learned from that experience. So then you could start a workplace conversation saying, this is what I learned from this difficult conversation from this manager I had in the past. What have you learned from having a difficult manager in the past? So that's how you start conversations. You don't have conversations about moving up. You have conversations that establish similarities between you because people promote people who are similar to them.
No, that's actually really great advice. That it also makes you think differently than what you would usually do if you were going to a manager and saying, "Hey, I would love to be promoted." A lot of times at that point, many managers usually promote the people that they have a personal relationship with. And that sounds about right for the reason. Is a lot of people who are good at their job is usually because or the people who get chosen, even if they're not good at their job, I've seen, is because they're usually best friends, which is usually the
Right.
biggest complaint that people have in this industry anyway.
So you establish, you synchronize similarities. Another thing that falls under mental is situation language. You speak this language of the situation. I approach people in opposite roles to ask them how they fit into the workplace. I approached a female county maintenance worker, a woman in a farm driving one of those big orange trucks, and I asked her. She said that as long as she could talk the talk and do the work, she had no problems at all. And this applies to men as well. I have found wonderful information in a documentary series about a professional wrestling organization and a book about professional wrestling. And a man named Dr. Schiller was hired as president of Turner Broadcasting Entertainment, something like that. And he oversaw WCW, which was World Championship Wrestling. Schiller had no background at all in wrestling. He went to Eric Bischoff's office. Eric Bischoff was the executive producer of WCW. Schiller asked, "What's the most important thing for me to know?" Eric Bischoff said, "It's very simple. If you can't talk, you can't wrestle." So Schiller left all the wrestling decisions to Bischoff because Schiller couldn't talk. He couldn't talk wrestling. So if you can talk, people will be more likely to listen to you.
Okay. And so, and I know we're about to come up on time real quick, but I did want to go a little bit more into these courses that you have, because I know a lot of people really do need to take these type of courses where they are able to take a look back, take a step back and say, okay, in these situations, what could I have done? What can I do? And what did I do that maybe did not do that did not work in for me in these instances? And so I would really love for you to kind of go over the courses. I know you said there's the free lessons, obviously.
Those are free lessons that gives you an idea, and it gives you a basic for improving all kinds of things in your life. Those three lessons. If you just watch those three lessons, you can do a lot in your life. But if you take the courses, one is Collaboration Up, Toxic Gossip Down, with a subtitle Rewards Up, Losses Down. And that helps you understand good, bad, and ugly gossip. And when you can understand it, you can recognize it when people are speaking it. If you hear good gossip, you know that you can trust that person. That's a good person to network with, good person to invite loyalty from. Bad and ugly gossip. There we go. Well, that's Career Advancement Up. That's the other course. But that's okay. The Career Advancement Up, Toxic Gossip. There we go. When you recognize bad and ugly gossip, you know who's probably not going to collaborate. When you can recognize ugly gossip, you could learn to pay attention to whether or not sabotage is going on, because ugly gossipers make up stereotypes and they intend to hurt people, hurt, humiliate, and blame. So when you can recognize those three types of talking, you know how to approach that person. You know where they probably fit in the three groups of people.
No, and that makes complete sense because a lot of times it is very hard before you get to the situation of someone getting in the way of you being able to be successful. A lot of times you don't know the little steps or the little triggers that could happen. And so this was very good with teaching, hey, if you are in a toxic situation, look for these little key points, and these key points will show you, okay, this is how you can navigate. This is how you can turn this situation around,
I
either
provide
for
all
your in your favor or not, or just where it's not going to
Right.
hurt you.
All kinds, I provide all kinds of strategies to use in these situations. I developed my first strategies when I was 18 in the bottom of a corporation. And I developed a good gossip strategy and a bad gossip strategy, encouraging good gossip, discouraging bad gossip, and both of them worked. They were both simple and they were effective. So I provide strategies. In the collaboration, in the career advancement up, career advancement down, which means loyalty up, stereotypes down, I help you understand and recognize DISC behavior styles, dominance, influence, steadiness, and conscientiousness, and Spranger guiding values, knowledge, usefulness, harmony, belief, helping, and position. And when you can recognize those behavior styles, you know how to give moments of dignity and moments of passion. They are just moments, literally moments. I talk about relationships as having open, closed, and slam doors. I have faced a lot of slam doors in my life, particularly from my own family. The only slam door I was ever able to open was in a workplace. And I could do it for three reasons. One is because we were in the workplace, so we saw each other frequently. Secondly, I recognized her high behavior style and her first Spranger guiding value. So I knew how to give her moments of dignity and moments of passion. And the third, I was sincere. We went from her being spitting angry at me to laughing together because I knew how to approach her.
And this one is also good because I go back to wanting to say that this industry is very much so where you don't see a lot of women doing some of the jobs that that you would expect a man to do. And so breaking the glass ceilings, breaking the talking about the elephant in the room with some of these situations and actually having a, I would say, a positive conversation and being able to understand that there is going to be a level of, I would say, a level of ignorance whenever you have these conversations in some of these industries. You're able to navigate that with this course. It does teach you a lot of strategies that say, hey, if you get to this point where there is a stereotype that is brought up or that you don't feel comfortable, this is how you can kind of manage and navigate that conversation or understand that maybe this is just a step up into the right direction of whatever career you're trying to get to. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stay there, but you can get some of the skills that you need or the tools that you need in order to be successful in the industry.
And I in this course, I teach benefit behaviors and backlash bewares for each behavior style and each getting value. So you know there are some things we do naturally that other people can see in the opposite way, see as something terrible. So I alert you to those and tell you how to avoid them and how to use benefit behaviors instead. And when you know this kind of information, then it's easier to be familiar and approachable and to synchronize similarities so that people will and listen to you when you talk the talk of the situation. It all works together.
Absolutely. And also, I just wanted to show the free lessons that you were talking about, where it's talking about inviting loyalty, violence in the workplaces. The next one is behavior transforming steps and groups of people. And it's on softskillstrategycourses.com. And you should be able to find like the lessons, the courses that you'd be able to purchase. And then also, really, I believe this one. I mean, honestly, if you just
This
go
is my
through.
unimagined successes. This in here, imagine unimagined success number 15 is the story of how I opened the slam door. So these are all my unimagined successes that I've attracted since I was a child because of my soft skill strategies. When you invite loyalty, you invite unimagined success. Unimagined success comes from people, other people. They think up successes for you that you never thought up for yourself. That's what happens when you invite loyalty.
And honestly, you can just scroll through and you get to see everything that we really just talked about on this on this episode about what happens whenever you. And also, it's really good to be able to sit back and talk about, or be able to sit back and say, okay, I have accomplished this. I have done this in my lifetime, because it's really easy to forget what all you have done and get really deflated, or your confidence gets hit a little bit when you get told, oh, well, you're not good at this, you're not good at that. Sitting back and reminding yourself, like, I might not be good at it yet. That does not mean that I'm not going to do it. That does not mean that I'm not going to be successful at it soon. And then also, I wanted to show your other
Oh
website
yeah,
too.
this is the about this interview, but there's another page that I link that I will give to Jasmine to put with the show notes that has all the information that we're not talking, what we've talked about so far, and all the information we don't have time to talk about for SOPI, for situation, other people, and you. And with all kinds of examples, lots of resources. I believe in giving people a lot of resources so you can apply everything to your own life.
And I'll also make sure to put this into, as people know, I do not only the posts, but I also do the newsletters if you're following me on LinkedIn. So this is definitely going to be on the LinkedIn newsletter where you can go into it. And I mean, just going through it and reading and looking at some of these situations, looking at how. I think a lot of people read things and are able to take the lesson and apply it from the story into their lives. And I think that is going to be a great thing for people to do, is sit, listen, read, and analyze things in their lives that could be
Apply it to
used.
your life. And if you take both of the courses, then you can get an invitation to be in SOPI Strategy Superstars, an exclusive group. It's a bonus group. Once you pay for the courses, you don't pay for anything else, but you can network, you can create what is Brian Uzi calls a quality network of people who from different groups who are in multiple groups themselves. And he said that at random networking with people who have different perspectives and different goals is important to the quality of a network. So you can do that there. You can create the second network he says women need. So anybody facing cultural and political hurdles, he says they need an inner circle for information. I call it an information circle where you can get direct information for something you need. And it's all free. All you have to do is take both courses. Let me know you've taken the courses, and then I'll invite you. And in that group, you can create genius focus groups so that you can invite people. I show you how to easily invite people, easily, comfortably search for people. You can create a genius focus group to identify trends and solutions and/or improvements for whatever you want to work on, any issue. And if I come up in your genius focus group searches, I will participate in the order I'm asked. So that I would love to be part of a genius group because it would be fascinating and I would learn a lot. And I want people, anybody in a cultural or political group that's facing hurdles to come together so that we can help each other change the world around the world. Work together to change the world around the world.
And what people do not realize is you cannot do everything yourself.
No,
You
you can't.
do need a community. You do need people who are loyal to you, that you're loyal to as well. Loyalty is not just one-sided. You have to be
Be loyal.
loyal to the other person as well as them be loyal to you. But you also have to treat them correctly and treat them with respect. You can disagree all you want to, but treat them with respect and understand that they too are human. And I think, like I said, with the courses, you definitely get strategies that you can use to help understand that people are humans, and being able to navigate even your own emotions in a very emotional situation, which goes back to a lot of times when you're talking about conflict resolution and everything of that sort. That's what having an issue in the workplace, these strategies, these skills help with conflict management and at the end of the day.
And speaking of loyalty, one of the reasons Silicon Valley is so successful is because different people from around the world come there to tinker and make the world better, and they are loyal to each other. Silicon Valley residents doing this are loyal to each other.
And loyal to the cause.
And
There's a
loyalty.
lot,
Yes.
there's a whole conversation we could probably have even on that, which, you can like the person, but not exactly, be behind 100% what they do. And next thing you have an issue. So, whole nother conversation. But, outside of the two websites that we will be putting on, let people know how they can find you, and if they want to come and hear you speak or anything like that, how are they able to find you and get in touch with you?
Well, the contact information at speakingfromtriumph.com is Paula at speakingfromtriumph.com. Or they can contact me on the contact page of Soft Skill Strategy Courses. I am not setting up any speaking engagements at the moment. I will be posting that on my website, my speaking website, as I do them. I will, however, post every single podcast and interview I do on Soapy. And the advantage to listening to different interviews is that each host will focus on something else. So you could learn something from every interview just because each host will bring their own experience into the conversation. And that's what I want all the hosts to do, bring their own experience in, as you did, Jasmine, because
Thank you.
that informs the conversation with reality for all the people who share your experience.
And really, how these strategies go across the board. It's not
That's the
just
board. That's
business.
why genius focus groups can look at trends. They
And
come
that's
up
what
with
people need
questions
to
that
think
interpret it.
about.
And then, of course, I would want you to share that in the Soapy Superstars group so we can all benefit from it. But you can, as you're working on your trends and solutions and improvements, you can document what you're doing. You could name your own group. This is an offline group, out of Superstars group where you have conversations. You could name your group so that you could prove that this strategy, these trends, solutions, and improvements came from your group that you use around the world wherever you are. So you can prove it and use it and share it
Absolutely.
and share it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on,
Thank you,
and thank you
Jasmine.
so and thank you so much for sharing your strategies and sharing your story, your ideas, and understanding, like allowing people to understand why these ideas, these strategies, these skills are important overall. Just not even just in a workplace. I
Right,
hate
just
just
in the
saying just a
workplace. No,
workplace. Yeah.
if you learn about DISC behavior styles and Spanger guiding values, you'll be able to understand every single relationship in your life. Every
Yes.
single one.
Yes. And so thank you so much for being on. I hope everybody enjoyed it, and I will see y'all all next episode. Bye.
Bye.